Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We are from the home office today with the moat, the drawbridge, guards everywhere. You cannot get in. That's just the way it works. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We have a busy show today, as always. Jimmy Vaccaro on Thursdays. Let's go to Vegas. All the numbers, all the lines around the NFL that I'm interested in, and so are you. And also the college games. Jimmy Vaccaro, 41-year bookmaker, odds maker from Vegas, none better than Jimmy. Jody Jackson's going to be with us today, our buddy over at Fox Sports Arizona. The Coyotes start their season on Saturday night. She's over at the Cardinals. She hosts the Cardinals show, Cardinals OT, over on Fox Sports Arizona. And I saw Jody last at the Diamondbacks press conference last week, so there's quite a bit to get to with Jody. And then Goody at the Movies. It's Thursday. The movies get started tonight and tomorrow. And he's at a screening today. I know that much. And I think it's Jack Reacher, the Tom Cruise movie. But we'll check in with Bill. The Accountant is at the top of the list with Ben Affleck. And just me to you, when a movie gets released in mid-October, it usually means it rolls over, has four legs, and you scratch its belly. It's a dog. Usually. So we'll find out with Bill. Bill will be with us. That comes up at about 10:50 today. What's on my mind in the world of sports? Some of the hot headlines brought to you by Subway. Subway, where you can get your catering orders in here at 10 o'clock in the morning when we do this show live, and by lunchtime or tomorrow lunchtime, you can have all your catering needs taken care of whenever it may be, or you're heading to the ASU game this weekend or the ASU game this weekend, the ASU game on the road. I'm sure there's a Subway in Colorado, the U of A game. Yeah, there's Subway right outside the stadium. Subway, eat fresh. Appreciate Subway and their support of Sports 360 AZ. All right, so this is a good day in sports. This is a very good day in sports. We have the Dodgers-Nationals tonight. We have Max Scherzer in Rich Hill, and we have the Cubs awaiting the winner. I talked to Pedro yesterday. Pedro Gomez, the ESPN baseball analyst. And, you know, Pedro's view is that for the Cubs, and most of America, I think, has become Cubs fans, they would like to see the Dodgers win tonight, not the Nats, even though Scherzer is throwing tonight. The winner of this series gets the Cubs in the next round of the playoffs, so in the National League Championship Series. So Rich Hill, who's already said, I'm not going to go that deep into the game for the Dodgers, which I'm not quite sure what to make out of that. If you're pitching in a must-win game, and you admit that you're going to get help out of your bullpen, I don't know if that's the best way to go about it. I'd rather have somebody that says, I am going to take the ball and I'm going to smoke the Nats tonight on the road, and then we're going to go to the next round of the playoffs. I want some bravado, right? I mean, show me what you got here. So that's tonight on the baseball scene. The other series gets started tomorrow in the American League Championship Series between Cleveland and Toronto. And it feels like in that one, most of America, no offense to Canada, but they'd rather see Cleveland out there. I think either way, like if it's Toronto-Washington, let's just say it's Toronto-Washington, I've got to believe that the commissioner's office is going to say, huh, this is what we're left with? If it's Cubs-Indians, if it's Dodgers-Indians, you know, you get L.A., but the L.A. market is so fragmented. You get Cubs, like Jared's in today for Eric. So Eric, of course, takes off another day. I don't know, Jared, have you looked at the details of Eric's contract?
No, I have not been privy to Eric's contract, but I would love to read the fine print.
Have you ever, like, sat with him in the bullpen, it's our little area behind the scenes, and said, so how many days off do you get? Because we all do that, right? When we're in our cubicles at normal companies, and we're abnormal. We like the fact that we're disruptors in the industry. But so do you have any idea how many days off he has? It feels to me that he has more days off than days worked in this arrangement.
He's lucky we don't have an HR department.
But what do you mean we don't have an HR department?
Is Jared Nielsen the HR guy around here?
Jared could be the HR director, I suppose. I mean, we all have I think we kind of HR ourselves. Do we have time cards?
And maybe that's the problem.
Chicken. Maybe it is. Do you think he's taking advantage of our good naturedness?
I'm going to say no comment on that one. I'll just leave it there.
Woo. That's throwing him under the bus.
So I didn't comment. Can't do anything.
How many times do you come in and ask for days off versus how many times Eric comes in and asks for days off? It doesn't seem to be very equitable.
It's significantly less, but mostly because I have two small children that own my bank account, so there isn't much money to be able to make trips to be able to ask off for. So
anything. To do anything. And you were off yesterday. Religious observance, which is good.
Yes,
it's great. You feel
that.
Much better today.
Good
you
time.
Feel much
with,
better.
Good time with the family. Always good to spend That's time. Home cooked meal. It's always a good time.
Yeah, we don't have that in sports much. You know, I tell my class, I'm teaching at ASU this semester. It's the first time I've ever done it. And I walk in there like the first day and said, "So you don't want to work nights, weekends, and holidays? There's the door. Drop the class. Get out." Right? So, like, if you had heard that same spiel when you were at the U of A, would you have gotten out now that you've seen the underbelly of the industry, or is this just fine?
No, because I was used to it because I worked in the valet industry, and I was basically told if you ask for a holiday off, especially Thanksgiving, we'll show you the door. So,
you're done. You're out of here.
I had to work Thanksgiving 2 years in a row, and I had to work Christmas Eve while I was a valet.
There's nothing wrong with that. And now you're in sports, and it's all good. All right. So Jared's going to be with us today on the show. Over on the Cardinals front, Carson Palmer did practice. He's cleared. The Jets stink. Let's be honest. They're 1-4. Their quarterback is former Valley High School prep star Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough game. And, you know, the thing is, though, that everybody is dealing with injuries. You know, not sure who exactly, you know, is going to get hurt each year, but people are going to get hurt each year. Everybody plays hurt. So it's a tough game, and nobody feels sorry for you in this league because everybody's dealing with stuff. Knowing he's not going to be with us for the rest of the year, being on IR, you know, now we've really got to have those young guys step up. It makes a little bit of a difference in terms of, you know, the last few weeks. You still had that, you know, a little bit of hope that maybe he'd be able to come back, but you know, we've got a talented group of young guys that just need to step up.
Talking about Eric Decker there, their wide receiver who's out. Here's head coach Todd Bowles.
Anytime you lose one of your star players, you're going to have an impact, and it's going to be an adjustment period for everybody else so we can get everybody else involved and find out what exactly they can do Sunday to make up for his loss, but everybody's got to chip in.
Yeah. They stink. Like, Jared, seriously, you're going to the game, right? I think I heard Eric say that the two of you are going to go cover this Titanic battle.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. So if you're sitting there at halftime, although it's Monday Night Football, this cannot possibly be like a 10-3 game, Cardinals at halftime or Jets at halftime. They've got to steamroll this team, don't they?
Well, Peter King raised a good point to you earlier in this week that they have what many expected at the beginning of the season to be the best defensive line in the NFL, and they have significantly underperformed. So if they decide to get well against the Cardinals that is completely depleted, especially on the interior, it could be the perfect storm, and we could see a 10-3 matchup. But hopefully something will be found in the first quarter if you're the Cardinals and finally get some points up early, because that's been the issue here so far the first 5 weeks is they're keeping teams around too early and they're having to dig themselves out of holes.
Yeah, no. No, that's a good point. Did you see the Suns game last night?
No, I missed the Suns game, but I was following it on Twitter, and it sounds like it was just a foul barrage. Seems like the officials were getting their reps in before the start of the season, just with their whistle blowing and things like that. That's what I was hearing.
So I watched it. I don't know why. I was sitting here in the home office working on things, figuring out questions for the midterm to fail all these aspiring journalists at ASU. And I'm watching it, and it hit me around the third quarter. Man, there's been a lot of free throws. And all of a sudden, the announcers for Utah, like, you do games. I've done games. I don't think there's anything worse than a whiny play-by-play guy about officiating. So the two guys doing the Jazz game, and it's a televised game. They're televising preseason NBA basketball, so good luck with that. And when they got to 60 free throws being shot, I'm thinking, well, that's really abnormal. And then it became kind of fun to watch. Like, okay, there's 70. All right, 80 free throws. All right, 90 free throws. And then it's come on, guys. You can do 100. You can do this.
They're getting reps in. Good free throw reps. It's the best time of year to do it, right?
Oh, gosh. And the Suns were down 30 last night, and they shot 106 free throws. And Archie Goodwin made a play that if it were a regular season play, And we'll probably see it over and over and over because Archie Goodwin has not had many play-by-play highlights. He just hasn't. But he had a crossover dribble in the final 15 seconds, 10 seconds, whatever it was, and he throws it down with authority around a player. And it was a nice win, I guess.
When you talk about Archie, Brad, he seems to be the guy that no one's really talking about going into this season. Do you think that that's done on purpose coming from the Suns, or is it just because there's so many other guys at the guard position to talk about?
Well, I mean, to me, he's one of those. I wouldn't say he's been a disappointment. He's just a classic. You should have stayed in school. It's too early for you to leave school. You should have been playing, but you wanted to come out, and he might be a very good player by his fifth year, sixth year. I mean, Jared, you see them. What is he in his? He's in his third or fourth year already.
I think this is his fourth year. I think this is year number four for him, and the amount of minutes that he's logged is pretty low considering he's been in the NBA for 4 years.
But okay, the way the league is set up, if you're a guy like Archie Goodwin, you're going to turn pro immediately, even if you're not even close to being ready, because you're going to get that second contract in that third contract. You're going to sit around on a bench and you're going to bounce to Bakersfield and Prescott this year. And Prescott's beautiful. We have people in Prescott that watch what we do. There's a nice pumpkin patch that you were just at earlier this week, right? Okay. So it's not like Prescott is a dump. Prescott's not a dump, but if you're an NBA player, you don't want to be on a bus to Prescott over and over. And that's what he's done, the Bakersfield Express. I don't think there's a direct flight from Phoenix to Bakersfield, but that's where he's been living for the most part, but he's been getting paid, and now his next contract will come along. I don't know if it's going to be with the Suns. I wouldn't say that they're not talking about him. It's like he's got to give us something to talk about.
He's shown flashes. It's just a matter of putting it together consistently.
Yeah. Austin Matthews. So this kid last night on the ice, this is a player that grew up right here in the Valley, first-round pick of Toronto, and man, did he put on a show.
Rebound along the boards is played high to center ice. Here's Matthews with Nylander, 2-on-1. Back to Matthews. He scores! Austin Matthews, 4 goals. Do you believe this? Holy mackinac, the kid's on fire!
First of all, holy mac, what? What was that? I couldn't quite make that out at the end. But
holy,
that was one.
Holy Macano? Is that what that was?
Macadamia? I don't know. Was he trying to say macadamia?
Was he saying mackerel and then he cut himself off?
Wait.
Let's go. Rebound along scores is playing high to center ice.
Okay, we got
this.
Here's
Matthews with Nylander, 2-on-1. Back to Matthews. He scores!
Okay.
Austin Matthews!
Yep.
4 goals! Do you believe this?
Nope.
Holy mackinac, the kid's on fire!
I still don't get it.
I don't either. I have no idea what he just said, but I appreciate his energy and his enthusiasm. For the most part, that was a great call.
Here's Austin Matthews.
You know, pretty unbelievable. You don't really draw it up like that. So definitely pretty special. You know, it would have been nice to get the win. You know, that's definitely my fault in that last goal, but, you know, you just kind of learn from it and build off.
Well put. Any young man in his first NHL game who scores 4 and immediately says we should have got the win, that is called good media coaching. I like that.
That's also a hockey player. Hockey players are the best at that. I mean, they're best at those types of sound bites, and that's just not surprising to me coming from a young hockey guy.
Coyotes host Philadelphia on Saturday. We'll talk with Jody about that in about 10 minutes. For now, though, we step aside. Jimmy Vaccaro is next. We go to Vegas. Jimmy, the wise guy, South Point Resort Casino. A long time, 40-year bookmaker, none better than Jimmy, breaking down the NFL and college football lines. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmath. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our football show on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sussmath, Football AZ with 14 airings per week. Appreciate our partnership with Fox Sports Arizona as we continue to grow. Jimmy Vaccaro joins us now, South Point Resort Casino in Vegas. Longtime bookmaker. It's always good to have Jimmy on board with us. And let's before we get to the Cardinals-Jets on Monday night, tonight's game, Denver at San Diego. The Chargers have just – it's got to be fun, Jimmy, to see the floor in Vegas when it gets like the last minute of a Chargers game. I'm sure you've seen all sorts of emotions this year, right?
They've been obviously going back and forth the last minute. I've never seen a team getting so deep into the game with, to some degree, a commanding lead, or other times against, like, the Raiders coming back, you know, like a hurricane. I don't understand it. I just believe it. Where does it come from? Does it come from the players? Does it come from the coaching staff? They put themselves in wonderful positions to win the game, but obviously the emotions change in the last minute. It's almost like an NBA game. There's no sense even turning on a San Diego Charger game until the two-minute warning. But as far as tonight's game, obviously it looks like Simeon is back, and Chargers are fighting for their eternal life, and make no mistake about it. The line is where it should be. Denver, 3, 3.5. There are some 3.5 starting to pop up here, but Chargers always seem to gather some attention only because of the possible backdoor cover, because Rivers, especially when he's behind, he's throwing the ball on every down. So we'll see what happens. Total, not as high as you think a Charger-Bronco game would be, but steady right at 45. But as I said, Denver, a road favorite, 3, 3.5 starting to pop up. But we'll see some Charger money late, I'm pretty sure about that.
All right, Jimmy, the Cardinals will have had 11 days off since they played a game on Monday night. They get a Jets team that loses Eric Decker. Jets, Cardinals here in Phoenix.
Well, this is a great appetizer for the Cardinals. Obviously, bouncing around in the last week, you did win the game. That, to some degree, you say you had to win the Jets. You know, how can you even understand what they're doing over there? I mean, they paid this kid a lot of money, and he just can't seem to get the ball to the right people at the right time. The Cardinals have drawn a lot of attention, especially in parlays and teasers, Brad. Like, people are teasing it down where Arizona just has to win the football game. As far as the straight bets are concerned, it's still about 2.5 to 1, all on the Cardinals, laying to 7.5, and it's up to 8 in just about every venue here in Las Vegas. So Jets, Cardinals, game is settled at 8. Probably will see a little bit higher. And remember, you're a good attraction for the Las Vegas people to travel out there and have a good time, especially when it's a Monday night game. Two of the kids who are supervisors at the South Point are taking the road trip. They're leaving Monday morning, and they said nothing would stop them from being out there. They enjoy the atmosphere, and you guys have a great stadium. I'm sure these two kids will have a great time.
No, that's good to hear. It's good to hear. Colin Kaepernick gets the start. 49ers at Buffalo. The Bills have had a resurgence after Rex Ryan said maybe it's good. We'll play the Cardinals and Patriots in back-to-back weeks. 49ers-Bills.
You know, this is the best thing that could happen to Kaepernick. Coming back here, better that he comes out on the road. If he's at home and he just makes the first mistake, let's just say early in the game, and still has a good game, I don't know if he can overcome that early mistake. Buffalo, they played a pretty good game last week. They escaped with the win out there. 49ers, I don't know how to categorize it. Obviously, things are array over there. They went to Kaepernick. He'll have his chance to prove his worth there. I know they restructured his contract 2 times this week, which is, to some degree is unheard of. But it's still a healthy price on Buffalo, who obviously are playing much better. It's an 8-point favorite. But, again, I think the smarts will wind up taking San Francisco for the early reason that I said. If Kaepernick was going to come back, he's better off coming back on the road against a hostile crowd, which would be more hostile, I think, if he played out west. So we'll see what happens. But a healthy favorite, the Buffalo Bills. Wouldn't be surprised if Kaepernick at least keeps the game close.
There's some really interesting matchups on the surface. Atlanta and their high-octane offense goes up to Seattle. The Seahawks are finding their way through, even with a bunch of injuries. Atlanta and Seahawks,
once again, these games posted way back in August. Seattle was a 9-point favorite. And for the obvious reasons, Seattle's down to 6.5. Not so much the play of Seattle, which hasn't been up to par, but really the Falcons. I mean, coming out of the woodwork. I, and a nobody who has any brains, or put it this way, who understands this racket to any degree, would think the Falcons will be out to this start where Julio Jones, 300-yard games, Matt Ryan keeping the game comfortable. He's not forcing the ball. Seattle, yes, we understand the offensive line isn't giving any help to Russell Wilson. Seattle, 6.5-point favorite. If it goes to 7, I think the smarts will gobble it up right now, but it'll be a small parlay play for the parlay card players, but the 6.5 is the exact right number for the exact right time with these two football teams.
One other NFL game with Jimmy Vaccaro, Dallas at Green Bay.
wow, forget about it, kid. This is this is like the Sopranos, right? Forget about it. This is the game everybody be waiting to see. It's the late, early game at 1:25 our time out here. And how much more could you ask for? With all the controversy now, Jerry Jones speaking about his quarterback, Romo, how great it is. But how can you obviously penalize Prescott? And it's Ezekiel Elliott, who's just a wonderful, wonderful rookie runner. This game, 4.5-point favorite. This game, once again, a while ago would have been 8 minimum. But Green Bay's having a little trouble putting teams away. Dallas, what can you say? I mean, they manhandled the Bengals last week. Green Bay, 4.5. It will be the biggest betting game of the day. Make no mistake about that.
Let's go over on the college end of things with Jimmy Vaccaro at the South Point from Vegas, going through all the games here on the college end. Arizona State. Change of quarterback, not once, not twice, 3 times. And the Sun Devils go up to Colorado. The Buffaloes, one of the biggest surprises, I'd say outside even of the Pac-12, but in the country this year with how well they've played. ASU at Colorado, Jimmy.
You're right on the money. Colorado is absolutely the team that nobody even talked about during the course of the summer. Arizona State, if we'd have talked about this a while ago, we would have never been talking about Colorado, a 13.5-point favorite. It wow. sounds obviously maybe a little high with the double digits, but let me tell you, it's right where it should be. And even though it's been minor action so far, it's been on Colorado. Arizona State has fallen out of love with anybody, especially, you know, you're still, to some degree, you're a West Coast team for us, and we get you guys playing late. 75% of the time, the money always comes on Arizona State or Arizona. In this case, in the last few weeks, and actually since the beginning of the season, it's been just the opposite. Colorado has to be one of the biggest surprises for the country right now, and they're playing so well.
USC travels over to Arizona down in Tucson. The Wildcats 0-3 in conference play, but they almost beat Washington, took them into OT. What's the view in Vegas? Does U of A have a chance against the Trojans Saturday?
Well, my good friend, we don't play on almost. So forget about that. And here it is again. USC not having the seasons they thought that they would have had, but they're still a what I would consider a dominant favorite coming into Arizona. USC, a 8.5-point favorite, and I don't think there'll be any big bites on Arizona. The only way we'll get big bites if this game somehow goes 10. So USC, Arizona, the luster is worn off. I hate to say it for the you two guys out there, but USC should be a dominant favorite. Now, can funny things happen? Yes. Is Arizona still a well-coached team? We consider that they are, but they just can't put it together. So they are what they are. That's a obviously a home underdog. That is very, very, very seldom you get your teams being an underdog at home. But justified here, USC 8.5 and 9.
Number 1 Alabama plays at number 9 Tennessee, middle of the day on Saturday. A good game from Vegas's view.
Here we go. Alabama, Tennessee. Doesn't get any better. I mean, if Tennessee would have won the game last week, it would have been, I don't know how we would even talked about it. Looked like they were dead in the water, came back, and we obviously saw what happened late. Alabama, a 12.5-point favorite, up to 13. That was just mostly on people taking leads. By that, I mean that the people understand this racket, bet on Alabama, knowing that the game is going to go up and have a chance to either get rid of it or go for middle or just keep the bet when it comes to Saturday. Now, Saturday morning from like 9 to 12:30 our time, it'll be a dominant rush on Alabama with parlay cards and teasers. I can tell you that this will be one of the bigger decisions that we need, and it's going to be Alabama with one more miracle in their pocket, I hope, for the bookmakers here in Las Vegas.
Last game, number 2 Ohio State at number 8 Wisconsin. Night game, that's good for you. What's it look like from Vegas?
Very seldom they jump on the dogs early here, but in this case, the smarts are all over Wisconsin. We opened the game at 11, it's down to 10, just about everywhere that I see, but it's still that mystique with Ohio State. We'll get our share of Ohio State money, but in this case, people are thinking, Wisconsin, if they can just stay in the game and grind out a few first downs, the keys to beating the Alabamas and Michigans are obviously keeping the offenses off the field. But in most times, obviously last week, Michigan and Rutgers, they had 2 first downs, which didn't keep teams off the field for a while, defense, excuse me. But in this case, it's the same thing. And there's a lot of people thinking that Wisconsin can run the ball a little bit. If they eat up the time, the 10 is a huge number. If they get behind by 13 in the first 8 minutes in the third quarter, the game figures end up 27. But an interesting game. Smarts are on the dog, I can tell you that. We'll see what happens there, buddy.
Jimmy, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy your weekend. Thank you.
All right, pal. Goodbye.
Jimmy Vaccaro there from Vegas, South Point Resort Casino. Jody Jackson is next. We switch gears to quite a few things going on locally. The Coyotes open their season. Jody's been out at Cardinals, and she was at the Diamondbacks. So we'll bounce around to things going on in the Valley, and then Goody at the movies in about 15 minutes. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Coming into a big sports weekend, man, Jimmy Vaccaro laying it out there. 13.5 for Colorado against ASU. Vegas, just 2 touchdowns for CU. And with the quarterbacks, I get it. All right, let's switch gears. Quite a few things going on locally. Fox Sports Arizona's talented, respected reporter, Jody Jackson. Last time I saw Jody was at the Diamondbacks press conference, which would have been, what, Jody, a week ago Monday. We were sitting there with Ken Kendrick and Derek Hall. From that point in time, you've had some Cardinal shows, right? And the Coyotes as well. So you've got a lot going on.
It actually feels like longer than that because I went on vacation, you know, right after that. I went out of town to see Miami, Florida State, go back to my old stomping grounds of South Florida with my family. So we dodged a hurricane and we saw the Hurricanes lose by a point and we had a great time at the beach. And so, yeah, it's been a crazy week.
So from there to where we are right now, what's in your wheelhouse? I will not lead this interview, at least off the beginning. What is in your wheelhouse today in local sports? What's got you thinking? What's in your wheelhouse right now?
Well, I'm focused on Coyotes and Cardinals to some extent, but right now Coyotes, like we had a big event last night at the Ice Den with some fans. It was great to see fans. Coyotes fans came out. It was streamed on Fox Sports Go as well. And we had Oliver Reckman Larson with us. So we're getting ready for the game on Saturday night. It's kind of odd because it's a home opener, a lot of excitement around a young team. And then they go on the road for like 2 weeks. So it's kind of like for, you know, obviously our crew, Todd Walsh and our entire production crew, they'll be going on the road. But it's kind of like, okay, you want to get into the meat of the games, but we're going to have to wait for the home schedule. But, you know, it's exciting to see because we saw Austin Matthews last night. Okay, so he's a unique guy who grew up here in the Valley. I believe born in California, but, you know, skated on the ice right here in our Valley. And he goes out there and, you know, people across all sports were talking about Austin Matthews last night. And so, you know, look, I'm not saying any of these guys are going to go out and score 4 goals, but we saw what Max Domi did last year and Anthony Duclair. And now we have a new wave of rookies, Dylan Strome and Laurent Dauphin, and Jacob Chychrun, who's kind of like the Austin Matthews of South Florida. I mean, he's a defenseman, and, you know, he doesn't have the hype surrounding him that Austin did, but he grew up in South Florida, and a lot of people down there are talking about him and how he's making this team at 18 years old. So I'm excited to see, and they have their kickoff luncheon today, and then we have they have a skate tomorrow, and then the game Saturday night. So that's what's going on. And then also Cardinals was out there yesterday, so kind of also getting ready for the big Monday night matchup with the Jets.
So on the Coyotes end of things, and we're talking with Jody Jackson, Fox Sports Arizona. They are the home of the Coyotes as well as the Suns, but the Coyotes, Jody, you're going to have your same role, correct? Pre and post and intermission hosting, yes?
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, sometimes we switch things up a little bit, but yeah, pretty much reporting during the pregame show, and we have an hour pregame on Saturday, starting at 5 o'clock, and then post-game hosting with Tyson Nash once again. So, yep, the band is back together.
Well, that's good. And Tyson does a great job. Are they going to be any good? Okay, that's a really broad-based question, and you're not going to say, no, Brad, they're going to be terrible. I understand that. but, okay, just from a, can they make the playoffs so we don't just have one team here in town that is making the playoffs? We don't even know about that with the football team this year. Are the Coyotes a playoff team this year from what you've seen?
That I'm going to be honest. I don't know. I really don't know. I think they have a chance. I think I'm a big believer in goaltending. Okay. It's got to take you a long way. The teams I've covered in my life have not had a lot of star power. In fact, this team is up there maybe with any of the most explosive teams maybe I've covered. The teams I've covered have always relied on the old term we love, right? Grit. Okay, grit and hard work. What we've seen from Dave Tippett, it works in hockey. It really can work in hockey, I believe, a little more than in other sports. But this team has, they have talent. They're just very young. I thought Shane Doan said it best the other day. He said, look, we could be good or we could be bad. And he meant at certain times in the season. He wasn't saying we're going to have a bad season. You know, he meant, look, we could have a good stretch of games and then we might have a bad, we might struggle because we have a lot of young players. I believe, though, that Mike Smith, now I know we know what he could do a couple of years ago when they went to the Western Conference Finals, but I think that he's healthy again last year. The last, you know, year and a half has been tough, and then last year at the end I thought we saw what he could do, and I think that's such an important piece, and that their backup, Louis Domingue, played really well last year, so I think they're set with that situation, and that hasn't been said in a little while. And then, you know, is Shane going to score like he did last year, that many goals? Probably not. It's just, you know, the natural maybe regression of last year. He had a really strong year as far as goal scoring. But they have some other guys that are going to score. And so, honestly, I can't tell you that they won't be one. Like, you know, Brad, they're not going to make the playoffs. I can't say for sure they will. I think they're learning about themselves on the fly, and they're going to find out pretty quick with this long road trip.
And they have this new general manager who's gotten a lot of praise because he's so young, which doesn't mean anything to me one way or the other. The age thing nowadays, Jody, I think it was a novelty 10 years, 15 years ago to see somebody in their 20s. He's the youngest in all of sports. Yeah, I got it. That's only going to continue with the metrics. And so that's not that big of a deal to me. But what I don't know is he going to be the type of GM? Because we knew what Don Maloney was all about. We don't know if he's going to walk in here and say, you know what, after 25 games, this isn't working, and I'm going to accelerate my blueprint, right? You see where I'm coming from? That I don't know what to expect off the ice because of the new voice. And ownership's always in this state with that franchise. You say, just let the dust settle for a few years. So we're not talking about anything else other than on the ice.
Yeah, I think you're right. We don't know how he'll be in season. I know this offseason, though, he was not afraid to make some bold moves. I mean, yes, Dave Tippett and Alex Goligoski had a relationship before, but they traded for his rights and not really, you know, hoping he would sign on. And he loved it. I'm going to talk to him a little bit more in depth tomorrow. But, you know, he landed here and said, I love everything about this place. I love, you know, what you have going on. I love the Valley. So, I mean, that was a great move. They saw a player there that they said, okay, we can go get him and he can help our blue line. I love that move. I love a lot of the moves that he's made, you know, trading for Lawson Crouse. So he's on the team. He's another youngster. Getting him from the Panthers. Panthers didn't want to trade him, but they were in a financial situation where they needed to unload some salary. So, you know, I think so far the returns are really good on John Chyka. You know, again, I'm with you, young or old. I mean, it is a little startling because he is so young, you know, and he's baby faced to boot. So it's a little startling when you're sitting there with him and you're like, wow, he's really young. But, you know, I'm with you where, you know, the Theo Epstein's, you know, he was young back when he was hired, and it really, I think it's a culture now where you see that, yeah, you used to need 20 years of experience to get these jobs, and now you just don't. You just need to prove to someone that's willing to hire you that you can do it. So that's what it is now, and I think that this was a good fit with Dave Tippett, who has greater input in the team, and that's how they're going with this, and I think it's going to be fun to see how it works out because so far the moves, I think, have been good. Now we'll see. You know, hopefully the returns are good when they get to playing games.
You said a whole bunch of smart things there that I don't want to follow up on now because it would take us into like an hour-long conversation. But it speaks to other teams as to what's going on in town in terms of the youth and management. Mm-hmm. I'll just leave it at that. Let me go over to the Cardinals. You were out there this week. Look, they've got to beat a bad Jets team this week. It's at home. You get Carson back. You've got the Seahawks following week. I don't care what Carolina's record is. It's now been moved to a 10 a.m. start. We know about that whole deal. And, you know, it's Carolina. So if you don't beat the Jets, I'm going to be pretty grumpy, right? Shouldn't the Valley be the expectation of, come on, guys, figure it out. This is not a good team coming here Monday night.
Well, Brad, you have a great way of bottom lining it, because in sports you can there are people out there that overanalyze, and I'm guilty of it sometimes too. But you're right. The bottom line is, yes, they need to beat the Jets. I mean, first of all, this is a team that has been excellent at home for years. I mean, even before Bruce Arians, even underwent, and then they underwent, of course, where the quarterback situation, they didn't have a quarterback, but you have to win these home games, and it's been magical at the stadium and primetime games. They're good, and all of that alone, the intangibles prove that this team loves that. They love that spotlight. They love playing in front of their own crowd. And yes, the Jets, I was doing a little more research today. They have one win over the Bills, obviously, and that's about it. And for whatever reason, they've given up. It's got to drive Todd Bowles crazy to have given up all these huge plays. Look, you played Pittsburgh last week. I'll give you a flyer on that one. I think the Steelers will be in the Super. I mean, they're unbelievable. I really think. I mean, I know what the Patriots have done, and Brady's back, but I mean, the Steelers are just so explosive and so solid. And so I'm not really looking at that game. But look, Darrell Revis is banged up. They should be able to get some chunk plays. Michael Floyd needs to hold on to the ball. Larry is just being Larry. David Johnson. I do believe they're going to have to preserve him a little better as the year goes on, and that's no secret. I mean, you just don't want to burn him out. Bruce said that in preseason. We don't want to. He has to be ready for January, and you got to get to January though. That's the problem. 2-3, because I don't think they expected to be 2-3. But you can't preserve him at the risk of not winning a game. But they, so they have all the weapons. You're right. They need to beat them. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a great story. Local kid. I can't believe he's 33 already, Brad. What happened? I thought he was just at Gilbert Highland High School. We're getting old. He went to Harvard. But he's a great story, but you can't let him pass for 400 yards. I mean, come on. You just have so much talent out there, and the defense has a chance to really kind of build on last week and then come home and put together a dominating performance. So you're right. They need to win. They should win. They have no excuse to not win.
Okay, are you grumpy with Michael Floyd like I'm grumpy with Michael Floyd? When you say he just needs to catch the ball, it's like...
a little bit.
It's got to be well beyond that now. Like, well, come on now. We've been hearing this first-round pick. He's burst through. He has one good game, three bad games. I don't think he's back here next year. I don't know. I mean, it's like Andre Ellington. They want big contracts and big money, but you guys have to be consistent. Steve's just not going to put you on scholarship. This is not back at Notre Dame, okay? See more.
I don't know what's up. He's had some injury issues, but this year he's fine. So I don't know. Don't know what's going on. In the beginning, I know Larry had to take him under his wing. He was young and said, okay, but he's not young anymore. I mean, he's a guy who knows how to prepare himself in this league. So, Bruce said we're just going to keep throwing at him. We've seen him get benched before, but right now they're looking at, he's made some big catches for this team. So you say, wow, I mean, I agree he might not be here this next year, but for right now, he's a big part of what they're trying to do. We haven't seen John Brown really get loose for any big. I mean, he had, of course, 8 catches in the Bills game, I think it was. But, I guess I'm just talking about those bombs where he's running down the field and, they'll get J.J. Nelson involved in that too. I mean, let's face it, that's, you might say you don't want to rely on that, but that's what this team does. I mean, and they know they do. They know they need that aspect of it. So, the good news is that with David Johnson now, you can run the ball consistently. And that's something this team didn't have in past years, and we've seen that the last 2 years. So, it should be fun. I always love the primetime games out there. It should be good. And cards OT afterward.
You sound very excited. You sound very refreshed from going down to Miami and watching your Hurricanes lose. And it's good that you're back. It's good that you took a break. Jody's a great follow on social media as well when she talks about the Little League and her kids and all that stuff. And she spins a lot of plates, but you do it very well. And I appreciate your time as always.
Oh, thanks, Brad. Thanks. I'll talk to you soon.
See ya. There's Jody Jackson. We're at Fox Sports Arizona. Give that woman a raise. Give that person a raise, I'm saying. Goody at the Movies is next. The Accountant, the Ben Affleck thriller that's been getting a lot of play. It feels like it's on every commercial break during the baseball playoffs. it's coming out now, which means it's not good. That's my view. Bill's going into a screening shortly, so we'll check in with Bill. Goody Coons, Goody at the Movies. That's next. I'm Brad Sussman. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, it is time to talk movies. You get ready for the weekend with Bill Goody Coons, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. He's been doing a ton of politics, but he is also about ready to walk into a screening. Can you tell me what it is you're going to see today?
Reacher movie, which is Tom Cruise as a kind of action hero type.
Based on
the Lee Child novels, which I'm going to talk to Lee Childs after I do this.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. Whenever a movie comes out and it is like mid-October, that's not good, right? So The Accountant is coming out with Ben Affleck, and I have to believe that if it's coming out in mid-October, that this is a disappointing movie. Am I right on that?
You're not right generally, but you're right specifically, if that makes sense. now through December, there will be every week, I think, there's probably going to be something decent that will get talked about in awards. And this is the time, but it's after Toronto. It's after the Venice Film Festival. And this is when they start rolling them out. Now, as you know, it'll get really hot and heavy at the end of November and the beginning of December. It just gets ridiculous then. But But that said, The Accountant is not very good, which is too bad. I like Ben Affleck. I was just going to say, I like Tom Cruise. A lot of people don't like him. I like Ben Affleck. A lot of people don't like him. I don't know. I kind of get why they don't like Tom Cruise. I don't get why they don't like Ben Affleck. But he's pretty good in it, but it's kind of a cool idea that just gets dopier and dopier until you just can't really like it anymore.
American Honey. Let's switch over to American Honey that is coming out this weekend.
Well, there's your good one. It's a really interesting movie. It's about this girl who has kind of a troubled life in the Midwest somewhere, and she falls in with a group of those people. I don't know if you've ever been at home and like these kids come to your door and they're selling magazines.
Yep.
And they say, you know, I'm trying to sell my, put myself through college, or I'm trying to do this, that, or the other. And at least in this version of the movie, that's not really what they're doing. They're really just trying to make money. And she works with them. They're sort of, everybody's got troubles and stuff, but they're finally sort of free. And it's really interesting. It's shot almost like a documentary. And a lot of the people in it are not actors, or were not actors. And this is their first film. Now, there's some real actors in it. Shia LaBeouf is in it, and he's really good. They're usually, you know, now he is somebody easy to hate, but the last... couple of years, but he's actually very good in it. And the most interesting person in it, and the best person in it, is a woman named Sasha Lane, and she plays the star, basically, and she plays the character's name is Star. But the director found her on spring break in Miami. Just came up to her and said, "Hey, you know, so I'm making a movie. Somebody fell through. Would you be willing to, you know, do some reading for me?" And she did it, and there she was. I talked to her, and she was like, it was just fascinating. I mean, because this kind of stuff always does sort of fascinate me. Like, what if you hadn't gone to the beach then? What if you went to Subway first, you know?
Right.
Then
right.
you wouldn't be in this movie. And she said, no, everything sort of happens for a reason, but she had gotten kicked out of her hotel and she was staying in her car on spring break. and she was just interesting to talk to. We talked about what it's like to be able to put like on your taxes, to put for real, like, you know, actor, and it's the truth, you know, you're not like the waiter who puts that sort of as wishful thinking.
So this sounds like something to see. I know you're about 3 minutes away from going into the screening, and there's a couple other movies, but I want to go back on Tom Cruise. You're going in to see Jack Reacher. He's going to run in this movie, right? Because every Tom Cruise movie, that's the joke with him. He's running with his arms moving furiously like he's in Chariots of Fire. Am I right?
Yeah, he's a choo-choo little piston-like motion with this. Of course he's going to. It's an action movie. I mean, you don't even if you're an action hero, I think your first line of defense is to run, not fight, right? If you're smart, you want to you want to save it for the dire circumstances. I think he's actually good. I mean, I have no idea if this will be good or bad, but I don't think it's aspiring to be, you know, born on the 4th of July or something like that, one of those movies. I think he's actually a good actor, too, an underrated actor. And I think that he's done so. I mean, like Minority Report, I love that movie. He's great in that movie. He's great in Born on the 4th of July. He's great in Magnolia. But he, like a lot of these people who have not heard the word no in the last 30 years, doesn't always make the best decisions when it comes to what movie he's going to be in.
Okay, about a minute left. I'll let you go. The political scene, I've got to turn it around to you because you're immersed in this and just getting mail that I look at the comment section and say, man, Bill is just rolling through this.
Bill is getting killed.
last Friday, Billy Bush gets involved with this video. How did your life get turned upside down last Friday when that was released in the next 24 hours? What happened to you?
I was at a Tempe Prep football game by myself at the very top of the stands. They played their home games at Mesa Community College. I was at the very top of the stadium off by myself with a little hotspot and an iPad writing about that and the reaction to it. And it's one of those things, it's so vile and just so bad that, like, if, you know, I know a lot of the kids and stuff, and if somebody came up to me and said, oh, what are you working on? It's like, I didn't even know what to say. I'm just doing a Donald Trump story or something like that. You know, I mean, I was just hoping, like, no, please don't ask me for any more details. I'm not the responsible adult who needs to explain this to you. and that's where we're at. This is in a presidential race. That is where that's what we're talking about. I can't tell. I'm not comfortable talking to my sixth grader about it, you know. It's like, and I sure can't tell her friends. It's just, it's amazing, and I, you know, and
Bill, it's just locker room talk. Come on, Bill, it's just locker room talk, right? That's one of the great quotes ever.
As you know, it's not locker room talk.
No,
you've been in a lot of locker rooms. I've been in a lot of locker rooms. You've been in a lot of locker rooms. It's not locker rooms. But it's certainly not in locker room talk in front of reporters that you don't know. But one of the things that I think is interesting, and one of the reasons that it may not hurt him as much as we would think, is evidently a lot of people, I just said the same, quite a few of his supporters believe that the comments were actually spoken in a locker room. And I mean that, I don't know what, how do you process that? How do you deal with that? I mean, you don't, you hope that people, I mean, occasionally read the paper or something.
Well, I made the mistake. Bill put on Facebook the other day, I will not engage with trolls. And you put engage with trolls, and I put in there, it's our fault. Of course, it's the media's fault for all this. And then I got just beat into the ground unmercifully by these people saying, yes, it's your Bill, you, it's all your fault for my lot in life. These angry people.
People are angry. And I think that's obviously what's fueling a lot of it. But you can be angry, but you can still be smart.
Yeah,
I think that's where we're losing some of that. I mean, this is clearly, this is not, it's historic debate, but for all the wrong reasons.
All right, go see your movie. I appreciate the time. See you. Thanks.
All righty. Bye.
It's Goody at the Movies, Bill Goodykunst, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. He's also done a terrific job, in my view, around the debate. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out. We're Arizona-centric. No matter if it's college, pro, high school, all through it, we have lots of content up there, more than just football. We cover the other sports, too, and we see good stories. And we appreciate you being with us day in and day out.